Before we come to speak about God's word, we're going to come in prayer to God again and speak to him of the needs and wants of our hearts. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word as we find it in the Bible. We thank you that it is so clear so much of the time. And because it is so clear, we find what it says very hard, because it hits our hearts, and so often it goes against what we would like to think and to do and to feel. We find that tonight, Lord, as we look at your word. We come as your people, and you tell us to take our cross to follow Jesus. Heavenly Father, we can't do this in our own strength. We pray that you would give us the faith that we need to live for you, but also the faith to see what we do not naturally see, and that is the wonder and the beauty and the richness and the glory of all that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord God, we are people that find ourselves so often living by what we see. We pray instead, Lord, that you would make us people that live by what we don't see, that we would live by what we hear from your word. Forgive us, Lord, that we are so slow to understand your word and so quick to believe other things instead, to believe those evil desires that come up in our hearts and minds, instead of seeing the pure and wonderful riches you give us by your grace in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be your people in a world that will not understand us, but also in a world that is lost and needs to know your word. Help us, Lord, at the same time to be faithful even when the world does not understand us, but also to be loving, to give your word to a world that so much needs to know about you and to come and follow you. Help us, Lord, we pray, as we read your word and as we understand what it says, to be made more and more like Jesus and more able to follow him, to obey him, to serve him, and to speak to others about him. Help us in all of this tonight, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this series that you have been looking at month by month, we have been looking, I believe, at stories that Jesus told. And you can see here in the reading we had earlier tonight, as it is here in your booklet, that Jesus gives us three picture stories here. And these three stories are all teaching us about something very serious, and that is the cost of following Jesus. Now, if you were to go back to the Bible, to the chapter that we read, you would find that just before this passage, Jesus compares the coming of his kingdom to a great wedding, a wedding feast. And everyone is invited. Everyone is invited to this great feast. No matter how poor, Even if you've been rejected by others, you are invited. And it sounds wonderful. A feast for everyone. And so what do we read? Look at the very first verse. Verse 25. Crowds of many people traveled with Jesus. People liked what he said. And they wanted to follow him. Big crowds. So what then do we find Jesus saying to them? To these crowds and to you tonight, Jesus has something else to say. And he's going to use pictures to say it. Yes, there's this great free welcome for everyone. But this is what Jesus now is going to say. Being one of his followers, we call them disciples, being a follower or disciple of Jesus comes at great cost. It is never easy. And you can see this in the reading that we had tonight. If you have it there, look there. There's three great costs of following Jesus. See in verse 26. What does he say there? He says, if you love your family more than him, you cannot be his disciple. In verse 27, he says, unless you take up your own cross and follow him, you cannot be his disciple. And then right down the bottom in verse 33, he says, unless you are prepared to give up all that you have, you cannot be his disciple. Sounds very severe, doesn't it? Jesus is very serious. Three times, he says, you cannot be his disciple. So what does he mean? Well, in verse 26, he is not saying that you must hate your family. That would be against other parts of the Bible, where God commands us to love and care for our families. But often in the Bible, the word hate and the word love is more about what you choose rather than how you feel. What is Jesus asking? He's asking us to choose who we will follow first, above all else. Even our own families, however much we love them, cannot come first above Jesus the Lord. What about the cross in verse 27? Now, as Christians, as you come to churches like this, we speak so much about the cross that it has become too common for us, too familiar for us. You'll find even Christians wearing crosses as jewelry or putting it on their Bibles or on their buildings. And we can forget the horror, the shame of the cross. What it meant in Jesus' day to be killed on a cross. Sometimes Christians can think too quickly of minor problems and sufferings as crosses we have to carry. We get a sniffly nose, or we have a problem person at work, and we say that's our cross to carry. That's not what Jesus means here. What did the cross mean for Jesus? It meant death. It meant shame, no glory. It meant that people thought he was cursed by God. People thought that God hated him. The cross meant rejection, being thrown away. That's what the cross meant. And Jesus says, unless you take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. Will all this happen to you if you follow Jesus? No, not always. But Jesus wants us to be prepared for this. To follow Jesus, even if it means shame, rejection, suffering, death. What about verse 33? Does that mean we cannot own anything? No. But what do you base your life on? Where do you find your life? Do you live for the things that you own? That means that the things that you own you. No. Or will you live for Jesus, the Lord of life? So before you choose to be a disciple of Jesus or a follower of Jesus, you must count the cost. But if Jesus asks you to count so big a cost, what does that tell you about who he is? If I said this, you must follow me ahead of all of these things, you would laugh at me. And you would say I was crazy. But I am not Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. That's why he can ask this of you. Long ago, when God gave us the law, the first commandment, the first part of that law said this, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods, only me. That's what God said. And this is what Jesus is asking of you. What does this show us? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Because Jesus is God, he comes first before any other relationship. Because Jesus is God, you follow him even in suffering and death. Because Jesus is God, he is the king, and his kingdom is worth more than anything in this life. Anything that we could own in this life. Now, Jesus uses three pictures to show us counting the cost, doesn't he? In verses 28 to 30, Jesus talks about wanting to build a great, big, tall tower. How silly it would be, wouldn't it, to start this tower but not count the cost. How silly would you look if your tower was only half finished? Didn't you know how much it was going to cost to make so great a tower? But also, Jesus says, don't you think others will see this too? That's what it says, doesn't it? Back in the verse 29, other people will laugh at you. They will say to each other, that man is a fool. To be a follower of Jesus is a public thing. It's no secret. It's not just between you and God. Others know. Others will know. Make sure you count the cost, because you can be sure others will be as they look on. But then in verses 31 to 32, we find picture number two. Jesus talks about a king going to war with another king. There were many kings like this in the time of Jesus. There were Roman generals and Greek kings and Persian kings and Jewish kings, all fighting each other. Just like we have great nations and armies today, don't we? We have Iran and the United States and China and Russia, all competing with each other. But how silly is a king who thinks he can fight another who is twice as strong as he is? What does such a king do? He has to count the cost. He has to make peace while he still can. And then finally, in verses 34 and 35, we have picture number three. Jesus talks about salt that is no longer salty. In Jesus' day, salt was often mixed with other things, and it wasn't always very good. So what happens to salt like this? It's useless. You throw it away. You don't use it for anything. It goes in the rubbish. So why does Jesus use these pictures? Two things. First, to show us the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. You don't build a tower or go to war without counting the cost. My brother is building a house for himself right now. He's doing all the work himself. And it is it creates a lot of worry and stress. He's constantly having to count the cost. Make sure it's all done within 2 years so that his family can move in. That's just a house. Imagine a great tower. The cost and the stress. You don't do it unless you think you can finish it. And a war would be even more like that. You see, many people, maybe even you, admire or love Jesus. Many of you may think he is a wise and good man. Many people think it would be nice to go to church or to be a Christian. But following Jesus is not just one more thing to add to your life. It's not just like joining a tennis club or going to university or getting married or having a new hobby. To follow Jesus is your life. It is your life. Are you ready for this? You must think first. Don't join Jesus and then leave him when you see what the cost is going to be. Think about the useless salt. What happened to the useless salt? It was thrown away. If you say you follow Jesus but don't serve him at all, you are not really a follower of Jesus. He will come as judge one day. When he does, every servant, every useless servant, will be just like that useless salt. That's the first thing these pictures are showing us. There's another thing too they're showing us as well, aren't they? It shows us the cost of not being a disciple. Yes, there is a cost to being a disciple, but there is a cost to not being a disciple. Jesus is Lord. So what will it cost you if you don't follow him? Think about the kings he talked about going to war with each other. There was the king. How many men did he have? He had 10,000 men. How many did the other king have? He had 20,000 men. It's too many to count on fingers. But he knew the other king was too strong. So what did he do? He made peace with the other king. Did he ignore the other king? No. He made peace with that king. God is the greatest king of all. Do you think you are stronger than God? Do you think you can bring as many soldiers as he can? The hosts of heaven are his. Do you think you are stronger than God? Make peace with God. There is a great cost to following Jesus. It is a very serious decision. But the cost of not following Jesus is even greater. Can you afford not to follow him? Can you make your own peace with God without Jesus? Are you strong enough to do that? None of us is strong enough to do that. And so we pray and we hope that you join us in following the Lord. The one, yes, you must count a great cost in following him, but there's great joy. And the cost of not following is too awful to think about. Amen. Well, let's pray to our God together. Lord and God, we thank you for these pictures that Jesus gave us to teach us to count the cost and to know what it is to follow you. Lord, we pray that we would put Jesus first. But we know how hard that is. We pray for your Spirit to change us and to deepen us and to make us true followers of Jesus. And we pray that all of us here would see what the cost is of not following him too, and that we would trust him. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.